Hey, good morning. So good to be with you this morning. I'm excited to be here this morning. I've been excited about the last couple weeks, but I'm probably most excited about this week. I'm excited. I already feel like, have we not had church already? Have we already not worshiped and praised God this morning? Can we just praise Him today for who He is and what He's done? We praise God in this place. I got a new favorite song. That second song today, I'd never heard before until they practiced it this morning. I got a new song that I'm going to be listening to all week. What good words to remind us of the powerful name of Jesus and who God is. And I want to thank those who stayed with us online, who did not leave us during the first couple of songs as Pastor Brandon made his way down here and let me know that the online church was listening to my voice sing. Probably not a very pleasant experience, and he wanted to make sure that got turned off. So you guys didn't have to hear it, but for those of you online, I apologize. We're glad you stuck it out and you stayed with us today. So we probably lost a few in the first couple of songs today. But anyway, we're glad you're here. I also want to thank our worship team each and every week, the great job they do, and I appreciate how they lead us into worship. And we had a special guest with us today you saw up here today, and her name is Brooklyn Spindle. And I just want to let you know that you're going to be seeing more of her come May, because she is going to be our summer worship intern. She's from Mid-America Nazarene University. She's a freshman right now, going to be a sophomore, a great young lady. Her dad and I played football together, which means he lost a lot of games, but he's a winner. Let me tell you, he's a winner. He is the chaplain at Southern Nazarene University. And she goes to Mid-America, just, you know, get a chance to get away from home and do something else. Her grandfather was my college president back in the day at Mid-America Nazarene University, Richard Spindle. So just a great family. And so we're excited to have Brooklyn join us this summer. She plays 7 different instruments. You just saw her play one today. So I can't even name all the instruments she plays, even things like the mandolin and the ukulele. So those are just kind of fun things to say. They just roll off the tongue. So anyway, I'm excited. If you can't tell, I'm excited to be here today. When I get excited, I kind of go off on some tangents. So we're going to try to rein it back in. I'm excited because we're in a series called Move. If you're just joining us today, I'm excited because I believe that God is on the move. I believe that God is moving. I believe that God wants to move. I believe that God's moving in your life. He's moving in our church. I believe that God wants to move. Sometimes we get in the way and we stop Him from moving. But God wants to move. He wants to move in your life. He wants to move on my life. He wants to move in our church. And He made the first move, and He wants us to move towards Him as well. So He made the first move to us, and there's an invitation to realize how good He is to move towards us, but also an invitation for us to move towards Him, because we've been saying this the last 3 weeks, and I hope you get this, and I hope we get this in our heads, that I believe God's working in your life, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you perceive it or not, and even whether you respond to it or not. God is at work. He's working in your life. He's moving. He's pursuing you, and He's inviting us to make a move towards Him. And so that's why I'm excited about this series today. And the whole point of this series is to help us recognize the move of God in our life and the move He wants us to make as well too. So we are in our third week, and we're talking about 4 moves that God makes to activate our faith. And I just want to share this today, that if you want to pull out your notes and follow along, those of you today that you like the fill in the blanks, and there's a few of you, you know who you are, and you're like, can we get the fill in the blanks, please? Can we get the fill in the blanks, please? And you beg and beg. This is your day. This is for you. And if you don't like the fill in the blanks, come back next Sunday. We'll see you then. So there is a purpose behind the fill in the blanks. I want us to remember some things today. You don't have to follow along in that, but it's a great tool to remember and help us navigate. So I'll help you. Not all of them show up on the screen today, but I think you're a smart crowd and you'll figure it out. And if you miss one, don't let it get you down. Just come see me after the service and I'll help you. You can't leave church without having that blank filled in, okay? All right, so a couple things today. First, let me recap the last couple weeks. Just real briefly, one is the first move that God makes in our lives is He invites us into community. That's your first fill in the blank. He invites us into community. That's the way He's always worked. God's always worked through community. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all of creation, and he said, this is so good. What I've created is so good. And when he created mankind, he said, it is very good. But there was one thing he said, it is not good. He looked upon his creation, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. He created us for community. And he started very early with the plan, and he established a family. God created family. God didn't need community. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is communicable. He is communal. There is fellowship. There's relationship. He didn't need us. Think about this. He wanted us. He wanted a family. Just like you want a family because you want to love children and love who God's created. God created us for family. And he started off and he created a family through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he has always worked through community to reveal who he is. So we could get to the second step, the second move of God is so that we would engage with him. He created in community so that we would engage with God. I do have a few of these up here. So to engage with God, and thank you for helping me as well. He wants us to engage with him. And to engage with God is just, it's spelled with an I. It's a deeper level of engagement. It's really to encounter God. We want you to see the move of God, and we want to see you encounter God. That's why we worship. We worship to praise God, because when we praise God, and even non-believers, when they see us praising God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, there is something about that that God moves through his people for people to encounter him. And I can't tell you how many times in my 25 years of ministry, how I've seen people come up to me after a message and say, Do you know what's going on in my life? Because I feel like you were speaking directly to me. And I want you to know that's never me. It's not me. That's God. That's God having an encounter with you. That's God wanting to have an encounter with you. I've seen many times throughout my ministry and in this church when someone comes for the first or second time, and during the worship, or maybe during the message, especially during the worship, I'll just see their tears flowing down their face. And they say they don't know why. I know why. Because God is having an encounter with them. God is wanting to engage with them so we can lead to this next place where God wants us to claim our identity in him. And this is a game changer when we claim your identity, when we claim our identity. Another word for that is to claim our purpose. And we're actually going to spend, this is so big that we're actually spending 3 weeks on claim your identity. And that's kind of an overall, but it's also an individual. We're going to talk 3 weeks about claiming your identity, claiming your mission, and claiming your gifting. Three things that I believe Scripture speaks to. We're going to speak upon these three things for the next 3 weeks because we want you to have a life. Because just because you're living, just because you're breathing, doesn't mean you have a life. We are here to find a life. Jesus came that we might have life and life to the full. Not just survive, but God wants us to thrive. And so we're going to talk about these three things next week: claiming identity, claiming our mission, claiming our gifting, and they all overlap. They all impact one another. You don't do one without the other. You're missing something if you don't have one of the three. In fact, today I want us to get this. If you understand your mission, which we'll talk about next week, and you understand your gifting even, that we'll talk about the third week, but you don't understand who you are, your identity, this is what happens. If you claim God's mission and claim your gifting, but you do not claim your identity, then you run the risk of allowing pride to control your actions. You act to receive glory instead of acting for God to receive the glory. It's one of the things I love about our worship pastor, Pastor Dustin. I know many of worship pastors that they're so incredibly talented and gifted like Dustin is, and they think that the gifts that they have is about them, and it's made about them. I love that Dustin's mission and his heart, his identity, is he wants to see people worship God. He doesn't want the accolades. He wants to see people worship Jesus and fall in love with Jesus. And so we don't want to fall into this trap that it becomes about us. We want God to receive the glory. And we know it's a human nature that everyone is in some way or another, they're seeking value, they're seeking purpose, they're seeking peace, they're seeking joy, they're seeking love. And there's a lot of paths that we all try to find those things. And there's a lot of, can I say, a lot of miserable paths to searching for those things. And I think we've all been on those miserable paths. I know I've been on those miserable paths. There's a lot of miserable paths that we choose to try to find value and purpose and meaning and joy and peace and love. It's kind of like that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. There's a lot of miserable paths to choose from. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but there is a path. There is a path that leads to life. There is one path that we're talking about today, and the wisdom of Proverbs appeals to us in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32. It says, "And so, my dear children, listen to me." This is like you can hear a parent's heart when we talk to our kids and we feel like they're not listening to us. And we're like, listen to me. What I have to say is important. What I have to say is here to help you. And it's like you can hear a father speaking to his child in the wisdom of Proverbs. And so, my dear children, listen to me. For all who follow me find my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Pay attention. Don't ignore it. I have something important to say. Don't miss it. Because joyful are those who listen to me. Who listen to what? Who listen to wisdom. And we know wisdom is found in God. The first chapter of Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That awe, that respect, that admiration, that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for it daily at my gates and waiting for it outside my home. Putting yourself in the right position to be right outside the gates, ready to hear what God has to say, what wisdom has to say. Back in the days when our girls were little and we lived a couple hours from Disneyland, and every other year or so we'd get an annual pass and we'd go there. And our family's tradition was we would get there about an hour to an hour and a half at the gates before the park even opened. And we waited outside the gates so we could put ourselves in position to get at the ride that we wanted to go to first and to be at the front of the line and go through it. And it helped the rest of the day go better if we put ourselves at the gate. And if even more so, if we put ourselves at the gate waiting outside the home. What is that? You're doing it today. You're putting yourself at the gate to hear God speak to you, to engage with him. When you get up in the morning and you open up your Bibles, you are putting yourself at the gate. You're putting yourself close to a home and in good position. When you praise and you worship him, you are putting yourself at the gate. When you pray, you're putting yourself at the gate. When you hang out with God's people, you are putting yourself in a good position. You're putting yourself at the gate and close to home where God can speak. For whoever finds me, and this is the biggest part of this, for whoever finds me finds life. And he who receives me receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. But those who miss me injure themselves. If you don't have your identity in Jesus Christ, if you don't follow Jesus Christ, you don't have to agree with me. You can disagree with me, and I don't want to be ever the person that says one day I'll say I told you so, because I don't want to be ever in a position to say I told you so. But I'm here to tell you I told you so ahead of time, that if you are not putting yourself in the place and the person of Jesus Christ, if you don't receive him as your Savior and follow him as your Lord, you are going to injure yourselves. It's self-inflicted wounds. And we've all been on this path. We've all done this. I can think of self-inflicted wounds upon myself because I didn't heed wisdom. And when I didn't follow Jesus, or when I turned away from him, But when we find ourselves following Jesus, I mean, there's enough injuries that take place in this life just because we live in a broken world, but we don't have to have all the self-inflicted wounds in our life if we will trust and follow him. So today is about claiming identity. And I want to share with us this morning some great scriptures. Claiming identity is finding ourselves in Christ. It's finding our identity in who he is. And when you know who you are, and we sang songs about this today, when you know who you are, it changes everything. It changes everything. And so I want to share today a lot of different scriptures, but I'm going to share from the words that I thought were Mark Twain's. I've always quoted this as Mark Twain, but I dove into a little bit deeper, and I thought Mark Twain doesn't deserve credit for everything. I mean, he was a good guy and smart and stuff, but I actually found this quote that I went a little deeper, and it doesn't matter who said it. What matters is I believe it's true. The two most important days in your life are the day that you were born and the day that you discover why. Two most important days. Man, the day that we were born, we had nothing to do with. But the day that we discover why, it is a game changer. So if you're following along your notes, I'm going to share four scriptures, the God's view of our identity. And the first one is this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You are image bearers of God. You are image bearers of God. Dogs, cats, as great as they are, elephants, donkeys, anything else in creation, they were not created to be image bearers of God. You and I have been created to be image bearers of God. We are meant to resemble our Creator. And I don't know if you ever heard this. He was like, if you think you're special? Yeah, kind of. You are. There's a balance in this. There's a balance, there's a pride of knowing that we are made in our Creator's image, and there's also a posture of humility we take that it's because of who he is that we're made in his image. And so I know sometimes you're like, are you special? Yeah, I thought of this this week when I thought about, are we special? I couldn't help but think, as we're coming upon baseball season, basketball season's coming to an end, I couldn't help but think of this clip from Moneyball. David Justice had lost sight of what made him special. We can get, and the more talented you are, the easier it is to get lost of what that means and who's responsible for that. He was an incredibly gifted baseball player, had an incredible career, but in this moment, he had lost sight of what had made him special. He was incredibly gifted. He'd actually lost sight of the mission, but he forgot who his identity was and who gave him his gifts. That his gifts were God-given. And we can easily get off track, and we're going to talk about this in the next 2 weeks, and God gives us gifts. He gives us a mission. But when we lose sight of who we are to glorify, who's to receive the praise for this? We weren't created so we could get the glory. We were created so that God gets the glory. And so, yes, there is this element that we should know. We're special. We were created in the image of God, and we're image bearers of God. We are special, but let's not forget who made us special and who we're to reflect. It is God and God alone. It's Jesus and Christ alone. So we are image bearers of God, but it doesn't stop there. Psalm 139, 16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Not only were we created in the image of God, God knows us. God knew you. He knows me. He knows the number of our days. Teach us, oh God, give us a heart of wisdom that we may learn to number our days, because he knows us. It's hard for me to fathom that a God that has 8 billion people on this planet, plus all those who have gone before us, that he's so amazingly awesome and big that he knows me and he knows you, which makes this next thing. It does not that we're just made in his image, not that we're just known by God, but it gets better. How precious, Psalm 139, 17 says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. The next verse says, were you to number them, they out surpass the sand of the seashores. It's more numerous than the sand. Would you park here with me just for a moment? If you haven't been listening, would you lean in just for this moment? It's hard for me to fathom this and understand this. It's hard for us to get this. But I want us to get this picture of God. He doesn't just create us in his image. He doesn't just know us, but he values us. He values us. That didn't even describe how much he thinks about us. He thinks about us more than the sand on the seashore, which means, think about this, God thinks about you a lot. He thinks about me a lot. He thinks about you all the time. You're on his mind. And I know sometimes we lose sight of the value of who God created us to be. But each and every one of you, because God is an amazing big God who's way farther than our mind can comprehend, he has the ability to have millions upon millions of thoughts upon you. He thinks about you. He values you. Think about your kids. I think about my girls. You know, when Heather comes home from work, we used to say, how was your day? How was your day? The next question is usually, did you talk to the girls? It's kind of like a competition in our house. Did you talk to the girls? And then we talk about what they talked about. What'd they say? We're constantly thinking about our girls. We're constantly thinking about what they're doing and what they're up to and the next thing in their life and where they're going and the dreams that we have for them. God has bigger dreams for you than you have for your kids. He's thinking about you way more than you think about your kids. Do you think about how much you think about your kids? And if you have grandkids, you multiply that like 100 times. I mean, you just think about how much you think about your grandkids. God thinks about you. He values you. So you're an image bearer of his. You're known by God. You're valued by him. But it didn't stop there. John 15:6 says that you didn't choose me. I chose you. Sometimes we hear this and I say this and we know what we mean by it. I found Jesus. Well, Jesus was never really lost. That old movie Fargo or whatever that was. I mean, he was never missing. He was never lost. Jesus found us. Jesus chose us. Jesus moved towards you. He moved towards me. He moved to us first. You are God's chosen, and God wants to connect with you. And the shirt I wear today on this student auction Sunday is the student ministry shirts, and this is their values. This is their slogan, that every student would be known, valued, and connected. I think it says known, connected, valued, but it's easy for me to say known, valued, and connected. It doesn't matter the order, but we want every young person and every student to be known, valued, and connected. We want them to know that they were created by God on purpose, for a purpose, because it's hard enough in this life without it. Just this morning, we got a text this morning from a past member of our church that moved to a different place, and they're asking us to pray for their son because their son is having suicidal thoughts right now. We've just gone through that in our community here recently in Bueller. It's so important that we know whose we are, that we know our identity. Because our identity in Christ changes everything. But when we search for our identity in other places, it's so important. So thank you, just for a quick commercial break. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting our students. You may think you just bought a $12 lunch ticket or a $6 for your kids, and you think you didn't do anything and you're just getting a meal out of it. No, you showing up shows that they're known, that they're valued, and they're connected. Thank you for being a church that understands that you're for the next generation, because without the next generation finding out who their identity is in Christ, they're a lost generation. And that goes for you and us as adults. Without our identity found in Jesus Christ, we are going to be lost. So you are known, you are valued, you are chosen, but we must choose him. We must choose him. And yet, why is it that so many reject him? Why did we reject him? In John, Jesus said he came to him that which was his own, but John recorded these words, but his own did not receive Jesus. Yet to all who did receive him, this is the good news, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So your next last little section of fill in the blanks is, I am a child of God. When we receive him, when we accept him, we become a child of God. And I know, I've even probably said this before, wrongfully. I've heard many people say this. Yeah, but we're all God's children. We're all God's children. No, we're not. We are all God's creation. And as God's creation, he knows us. He values us. He's chosen us. But we are not God's children until we choose him back, until we receive what he's offered us. He's given us a gift. He's given us himself. And we are only a child of God when we receive him, when we accept his invitation to be a child of his. And but it doesn't end there. Goes on to say, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus was sharing this with his disciples. He's saying, guys, now it's time, I want you to know. You're just not just my kids. You're not just servants. But we are friends now. I'm sharing everything. Everything the Father's revealed to me, I make known to you. I don't know what it happened for us. We have a 24-year-old and a 21-year-old. I don't know when it exactly happened, but at some point they went from being our child, and I don't want to say servants, because, I mean, they if they were servants, they weren't that good at it when they were little. Room was a mess. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know when it happened when they became my friends. I actually seek out their advice and counsel. I'm not saying that I share everything, and Heather and I share everything with them, but we share most things with them. We share a lot of things, and we seek their counsel. I don't know when it happened that they became friends. And God, in his mercy and love, wants us not only to be his children, but he wants us to be his friends. He wants you, and he's called us to enter into a friendship with him. So if you're looking for the second one, I am not only a child of God, I am a friend of God. And it doesn't end there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, and the new life has begun. I am a new person. That's your last one. I am a new person. When I come to Jesus Christ, God begins to make me new. He wants me to leave the old. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. But there is an old life that Jesus says, that's that miserable path. There's many of those. Now you're on this path, and I am making you new. I am making you a new person. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many bad things or how awful your past may be. I, in Christ Jesus, I am making you new. I am a new person. And when you claim your identity in Christ, when you get that God knows you, that God values you, that God chooses you, when you receive that and accept that you're a child of God, that you're a friend of God, that you're a new person, you're not who you used to be, that he's made you new in Christ, when we get that, when you get those things, you begin to shed what other people think of you, and you begin to care what God thinks about you. You stop believing the lies of what this world says about you, and you start believing the truth about what God says about you, that you're a child of God, you're a friend of God, you're loved by him, you're chosen, you're valued, you're known, and you can stop pursuing the approval of others and start pursuing your calling. I love it when that light bulb clicks on and people begin to realize who they are. I want you to listen to my friend Jen's story this morning.
I grew up in church and accepted Christ as my Savior as a child. But growing up, I've had some pretty tough things happen in my life. Beginning with, I've been divorced twice, and I picked up a label with that. And then I became a single mom, and that was also a label that weighed really heavy on me. And then I became single and pregnant, and that's really where I feel like my life kind of began to unravel, in a sense, where I felt like I was in this really dark place that I no longer knew who I was. And it wasn't even like the way that they looked at me or the comments that they had made that were really tough to hear. It was what I thought about myself. It's interesting to me because I felt like this, the whole journey of being single and pregnant, I was fighting through this, in a sense, identity crisis, because I thought I had known who I was and I had these failures, but this one was like the ultimate to me. And I felt unlovable, unworthy. I felt that I had used up every chance that God had for me and that I was supposed to somehow live the rest of my life in shame. The hardest thing I think I did was walk into church, knowing that I felt people would know exactly why I was here. I was very obviously pregnant, but it turned out to be the best choice I could have made. I began to realize, being at rock bottom, that it wasn't, my identity wasn't those labels, and it wasn't what I had done. My identity was what Christ had done for me, and He's been like so, so faithful. The closer it got to the place where I was going to meet my daughter, I realized that I needed to look at my future the way God views my future, with His truths in mind. I mean, the whole pregnancy, the word I held on to was His mercy, because I didn't deserve the grace He was giving me. And that's where my perspective changed, and that I could be authentically myself, that I didn't have to worry about what people would think of me, that my identity was Christ and what He says I am. It changed my perspective of myself, that like I could allow myself to have joy and to have peace, and to view my circumstances as a gift that God had given me, even though I had made a decision that I was not proud of. The way God turned it into something good is something that I'm like forever changed by.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jen, for sharing your story with us today. Would you stand with us this morning? Did you see what happened? She was invited into this community, our Embrace Grace ministry. Through that ministry, she began to engage God and see that God had something for her, that she saw that God knew her, valued her, chose her, loved her, and then she received her identity in Christ. She is a new creation. She's on a new path. She is a child of God. She's a friend of God. I am thankful for the stories of God. And God, isn't God good? Isn't God good this morning to do that? Yeah, isn't God good that He does that? That's our stories. And thank you, Jen, for sharing your story. Dan, would you bow your head and close your eyes as we close in prayer today? Heavenly Father, thank You that You know us. Thank You that we're made in Your image. Thank You that You value us. Your thoughts for us are so numerous, they can't be counted. You think about us all the time. You've chosen us. And Lord, when we receive You, You make us instantly a child of God, a friend of God. You give us our true identity. And Lord, You make us brand new. And I thank You, Lord, for what you did, because of what you did on the cross for us, that you paid the penalty for us, and you've given us hope and new life. Thank you for Jen's story today. Thank you for many stories like that here in this room. And right now, as we pray and your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, you want to receive that new identity and you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ. We always give this opportunity. Would you just raise your hand? I'm going to pray for you before we leave. We're about to go. Would you just raise your hand? Raise it high where I can see it, because sometimes it's tough to see. I see that. Thank you. Others this morning, just raise it high for a minute. Thank you. Thank you. God sees you. The important thing, I see a few of you. The important thing is God sees you. We're going to pray a prayer that we pray at the end of our service. And for those of you that raised your hand, we're going to pray this prayer together as a community of Christ, as a body of Christ. And if we believe this, God says, Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that you're a child of God and you're made a friend of his and you're a new creation in Christ. And behold, all things are new. So let's believe that today. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life and was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate those who made that decision today?